ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कल्विदं महद् आश्चर्यम्, कल्विदं महद् आश्चर्यम्, यद् राजा प्रकृतेस्तव, यद् राजा प्रकृतेस्तव, वासुदेवी भगवती, वासुदेवी भगवती, सत्पद्मानि त्रिधामति, सत्पद्मानि त्रिधामति, कल्विदं महदाश्चर्यम्, यद् राजा प्रकृतेस्तव, वासुदेवी भगवती, सत्पद्मानि त्रिधामति, कल्विदं महदाश्चर्यम्, यद् राजा प्रकृतेस्तव, वासुदेवी भगवती, सत्पद्मानि त्रिधामति। कल्विदं महदाश्चर्यम्, यद् राजा प्रकृतेस्तव, वासुदेवी भगवती, सत्पद्मानि त्रिधामति। कल्विदं महदाश्चर्यम्, सत्पद्मानि त्रिधामति। वासुदेवी भगवती, सत्पद्मानि त्रिधामति। खलु, इन्डीड्, इदं, दिस्, महत् आश्चर्यं, ग्रेट् वण्डर्, यत् विच् राजा, influenced by the mode of passion, prakriti, whose nature, tava, of you, Vasudevi, in Lord Krishna, Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sattva atmani, who is situated in pure goodness, dridha, firm faith, matihi, consciousness. Translation purport by Vangai Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Vitrasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is, although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, who is always situated in pure goodness. Please repeat. O Virtusura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva, who is always situated in pure goodness. King Indra wondered how Vritrasura could have been elevated to the position of an exalted devotee. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was initiated by Narada Muni, and therefore it was possible for him to become a great devotee, although he was born in a family of demons. For Vritrasura, however, Indra could not detect such causes. Therefore, he was struck with wonder that Vritrasura was such an exalted devotee that he could fix his mind without deviation upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Vasudev. End of purport. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Bhav, can you hear me? Hare Bhav, up, down, oh mic. Can you bring the volume up again? It's going up and down all the time. Hare Bhav, can you raise the volume? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You're an engineer. It's humming now, it's too loud. Bengali engineer. Humming. Silent now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I think it's okay. O Vitasura, demons are generally conducted by the mode of passion. Therefore, what a great wonder it is that although you are a demon, you have adopted the mentality of a devotee and have fixed your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, who is always situated in pure... TV. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. It's a very serious matter, the Srimad Bhagavatam, but everyone is laughing. The anomalies, problems always are the norm in the material world. We always expect problems, right? That's what the material world is. So we're not concerned when something goes wrong. In India we're more tolerant. In the West they're not so tolerant. Here he's describing how Indra is struck with wonder at the position of Vritra Asura, that he's actually a pure unalloyed devotee. And he's speaking so much. From such an elevated platform that Indra's really surprised. And he's saying here, although it's very surprising, although you're a demon, demons are usually affected by the mode of passion. Demigods are also affected by the mode of passion. And we see Indra killed a Brahmana, the priest, just before this. mode of passion indicates intense attachment. Vritra, he's not attached at all. Actually, he's happy to leave his body. He's actually looking forward to it because he knows he goes back to Godhead. So it's no problem. But still, he's going to do his duty and fight. he's going to try to kill Indra. But he knows that this is that he will get free from this body, free from this karma, free from this influence of the passion and ignorance, because that's what the body is, the material body. It's a combination of our separate desires from the desire of Krishna manifest in the three gunas. So we get that particular, so that body is made of the three gunas, more or less. So that's what activates, and not activate, the soul activates and the super soul. But the progress or the desires or the direction of the living entity, that's more or less dictated by the three modes of nature. As Vritra explained, we're all like a dramatic act stage where everyone is acting. Like birds captured in a net, everyone in the whole world, the whole three worlds, is captured. And they have no actual independence. Because you're bound to act according to your mind, according to your heart. Right? If you have free will, then you're bound to go where what you think is right, where you think you'll get some benefit. That's what everyone is doing. They're following a path by their mind, acting so-called independently, without authority, or without scriptural authority, then we're always leaning towards that a better situation. Because the material world is fraught with dangers and fearful situations. The living condition, living entity, is always afraid of his supposed enemy. It is mentioned there. Always afraid of his supposed enemy. So it's always a fearful situation whether that enemy comes in the form of adiatmic, adidevic, adibaltic, in the form of people or animals or nature. There's always something there that we don't want. So everyone is looking for improvement. Or every living entity, every moving living entity we see, that's the normal characteristic. They're all looking for improvement for comfort. Everyone is looking for comfort because the material world is actually uncomfortable. You can't sit, you can't be comfortable for very long, right? Here we have a building, we shelter from the rain, we have lights, we have fans, but still you can't sit for very long. You'll have to move your position, and so even in the best of circumstances, even if you're laying in bed, you've got to turn over or have an itch. You know, you won't be able to. even when you're asleep, you're moving around, eh? So you can't stay. You can't. There's no real comfort. It says there's no shelter for the soul in the material world. It's always keeping us on the move. These modes of nature. So he's surprised that this demon is speaking transcendental knowledge. He's completely aloof from the body. He's already got one arm cut off. It's no joke to have you know, blood is pouring. It's a ghastly affair. But he's telling Indra, because then he struck Indra with his mace and knocked the thunderbolt weapon, which was destined to kill him. He knew that. Richard knew that. And then Indra became morose, partly because he's ashamed, because he called him, he said, "You're supposed to be a devotee. Look how you're acting, you're so attached. You're so sinful, you killed your guru, a harmless guru, you killed him, your own priest. You're sinful, you're not, what kind of devotee are you?" He said, he started black, and he's the king of heaven. So naturally he was feeling very bad, and then Richard was beating him. He felt even worse. He thought it's all over, because sometimes the Kachas, they don't like that once their weapon had been knocked from their hand, they feel ashamed to pick it up again. But Richard was encouraging him, "Pick up your weapon, will you? What's the matter with you? Pick it up. It's destined to kill me. It's been ordained by the Lord. The Lord has invested his Shakti in that. It's made to kill me, and you're despondent. Oh, what's the matter with you? Well, you have no faith." He's really criticizing him, and Indra's feeling really bad. But now, due to his words, Indra's actually came a bit enlightened. He's become a little out of the modes of nature by the association of Vritasura. So now he becomes a bit more, he's going to be a bit more composed, and he's glorifying. The other thing is, he's a pure devotee, and just a little reluctant to kill him anyway. Now he's a pure devotee. So why would Indra, want to kill him after knowing all these things? So he was surprised that, it's amazing that you're speaking such, you're such a great devotee, and you're from you're a demon. Of course, he actually wasn't a demon. From his previous birth, he was a devotee. And his father was a sage. His father wasn't a demon, so he actually wasn't born in the demon dynasty, I suppose. Who was it? Who's his father? Trusta. Trusta, who created him from the fire. He didn't have a mother. So I guess Trusta was a sage. I doubt if he was a demon. So he wasn't born in the family of a race of demons. He was born directly from the sacrifice, and he grew immediately. It says he grew like the arrows, shooting arrows in all directions. He grew big, but he had a body like a demon, blackish, red, copper red beard and hair and pointed teeth, and I don't know if he had horns, but he had teeth, and he says horrible, ferocious teeth, and really scary and huge. And of course he was with the demons. The demons were behind him. But actually he wasn't a demon. But he was created to become an enemy of Indra. But because he chanted one mantra syllable, he pronounced it long instead of short, or short instead of long. Then he got someone who the Indra was the enemy of. So he had no animosity towards Indra. He wasn't Indra's enemy, but Indra was his enemy. But Indra was his enemy because out of fear of losing his position, that was Indra's attachment. That's Rajagun, excessive attachment, as a symptom of Rajagun. So Indra had that. He killed the priest because of excessive attachment to his position. And he's now killing Ritra, but now he's been woken up to enlightened by the great words of Ritra. But anyway, generally the modes of nature are controlling everyone. That's why when you take some to spiritual discipline, you actually have to surrender that false ego, surrender the mind. You have to accept that someone else knows better than me. That the scripture has the right direction. The guru has the right direction. The sadhus, they have the right direction, and we have to have that much faith that we can accept their intelligence over our intelligence, accept their mind over our mind. So that's the beginning of civilized human life. That's when you start to progress get out of the samsara and all those different species of life. They cannot do that. They're simply following their nature. They're dictated by the modes of nature. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. They don't go beyond that. But the human beings, they can go beyond that. But they still need direction. Because the impetus is, you've got to look for security. You've got to look for comfort. Everyone's doing that, no doubt, as we know ourselves. We're always looking for comfort. And then when it's comfortable, then we can look for pleasure. Then we can think about being happy. But without peace, Krishna says, there's no question of happiness. So first, that is predominant. The control is predominant. It's a predominant thing from the enjoyer. The enjoying is the actual goal. But you can't enjoy it unless you're peaceful. If there's a problem, you've got to deal with the problem before you think of enjoying. So that's why most of the day, is spent on controlling or trying to be comfortable most of the day. You work all day, right? You will go to work in the morning, come home in the evening, and the sun is going down. That's just so you can control your environment. You can you can pay your rent and buy the food and, you know, be peaceful. So your whole day everyone's working or studying to get a little more comfort. So that's most of our life is spent like that. So that's made in the mode of passion. Then within that then it goes up and down to ignorance or goodness. So it's recommended we come to the mode of goodness, because mode of passion means intense hankering. So if there's intense hankering, that means how can you peacefully chant Hare Krishna? Right? We want to concentrate on Krishna. We've got to come away from this, our conditional way of life, and it's only by the thread of faith that we're doing that, because we don't have any factual realization, at least not in a consistent way. We've got to let go of what our mind wants to do and the senses want to do, and we've got to direct them to what is permissible, which is not what the false ego wants, right? The first covering we get when we come in the material world is a false ego, and that's dictating you are the controller, you're the enjoyer. That's God's position. You are God. We're given this opportunity. Krishna's created this playground so we can exercise that mentality of being God. Go ahead, there it is, try. But you can't do it, unfortunately. So He has, Krishna's arranged it like that, that we'll never, we can never achieve our goal. Or even if we get the goal, we can't hold it. We can't keep it for very long. Because we're consistent. The soul is eternal. And the material energy is constantly fluxing and changing. Birth, old age, death. Right? Creation, annihilation. But we're actually, the soul is consistent, sat. But we're in an asat position, a temporary situation. And everything is constantly changing. So whatever, even if we achieve what we desire, you can't keep it. It'll be taken away in due course of time. So that's a problem. But to get away from that, and to focus on the spiritual life, like we're focusing on our sadhana, that is our, we're getting our strength, our shelter there, because we've forgotten what the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet is like. So we're taking shelter on the next level. We're following the rules, how to get back to that position of taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. In the pure state, when that experience is there, when you're actually experiencing shelter of Krishna, then that's so such a wonderful feeling that there is nothing else can distract you from that. All the wonderful things, what we call wonderful in the material world, they can't distract you from that once you've established that relationship with Krishna. But since we've forgotten that relationship with Krishna, now we have to re-establish that relationship with Krishna, reawaken that relationship with Krishna, uncover that relationship with Krishna, because it's already there. We need to see the Krishna Prema. We have to, and so why we do the process to uncover that relationship, it means uncover from Rajasama and Sattva. That's what we have to uncover. Krishna says, you surrender to me. Surrender means you surrender your sinful activities. That activity which is not conducive to Krishna's pleasure. That's called sinful activity, because that will keep you bound in the material world, which is meant for sinful people. So, as those modes are agitating us, so it's difficult to chant Hare Krishna. Right? Chant Hare Krishna for a half a minute, then you find something else. The mind has gone to some other program. Hey, what are you doing? Come back. And then, chanting again, and something comes in, something comes in the vision, something comes in the ear, and you go there. Distractions there. So according to the how you're affected by the modes of nature, that's like your karma, then it's more distracting or less distracting. Like the mode of goodness is much less distracting than the mode of passion, which is less distracting than the mode of ignorance. So therefore it's recommended come to the mode of goodness. It's the best, easier transmission to pure goodness, Sudha-sattva. It's peaceful, more peaceful. Because generally the mode of goodness are the activities which are recommended by the scripture. So like we follow the activities recommended by the scripture, but we follow mainly the activities which are conducive to devotional service. Dipyogyan, these transcendental activities, those instructions, that's what compiles our bhakti shastras. But at least for your ground zero, you can be in sattva-guna. That's the most favorable situation. It's not so turbulent. Your life is not so turbulent, the mind is not so turbulent, and the attachment is not as turbulent. Detachment is there, but it's not so gross as the. So this is why Indra is saying, it's amazing that because the demons are usually controlled by the mode of passion. But although you're a demon, you're not affected by this passion. In fact, he's in Sudha-sattva. So this is very very wonderful for. Lord Indra, because he himself is generally in the mode of goodness, the demigods, but there's a lot of passion there. There's jealousy, envy, and you see so many things he's doing wrong, Indra. He makes so many mistakes out of passion. Out of passion for his, you know, to keep his position or to enjoy his position or to flaunt his position, to go over out of his area of what he's supposed to be doing. Then he gets, you know, he makes mistakes. Not knowingly, he makes mistakes. And he gets into trouble. He's passion, lusty. So he's a king, and king can do no wrong. And sometimes he forgets, you know, the actual transcendental reality. Therefore he offends his guru. Therefore he chases the sage's wife. Therefore he kills a brahmana. But anyway, he does some tapasya, and Krishna doesn't, you know, take it too seriously. You know, he's a king of heaven after all. We need somebody. Somebody's got to do that job, and it's a tough job. So, you know, Hari Bol, carry on. So he's awakened to. He's been greatly enlightened. But he's still attached, Indra. He always remains attached, probably to the end of his life. Right? He gets, you know, he's got this enlightenment. He's so much enlightenment. He's met so many incarnations of the Lord, face to face. They've spoken to him. Still, he likes that position. He's on the top. He's on top, heavenly king of heaven. It's a very material, desirable position, and he desires it. He's not interested in, you know, going back to Godhead at this point, you see. Even though he's getting so much enlightenment here from Vritra, and Vritra's quite happy. Vritra wants to be killed. Vritra's thinking he's gonna fight. He's in the battle, right? So you have to. He's supposed to kill Indra, and he's gonna try, but he's hoping that if I kill Indra, then I'm here in the mature world, you know. Okay, we'll be in control of the heavens again, or the demons, they're supporting him. So we'll take over the heavens, so he'll be as good as Indra, in one sense, that he has all the opulence at his control. But I'd sooner go back to Godhead, actually. So let Indra stay here and enjoy this material situation. And if I win, then I'll have to stay here. So I prefer to, you know, go back to Godhead. So therefore he was encouraging Indra, you know, pick up your weapon. It's supposed to kill me. Don't lose faith. So then Indra has he restored Indra's faith, and then Indra became strong again, started with full vigor to kill Vritra. But Vritra's a hero, and he fights right to the end. And then he goes, wait, I don't know, I didn't read on, but I guess he goes back to Godhead after all this. And Indra stays here. He gets his position. He has to perform some tapasya, because now he's going to kill a pure devotee, right? Vritra's a pure devotee. Indra's going to kill him as a design. So then he has to perform some prayaschitya to get free from that curse. And then he'll go back to being Indra, normal life, for a while, till something else comes along. And meanwhile, you know, the whole material world is going on, and He moves on, and then another Indra comes and takes his place. And meanwhile, Vritra has gone back to Godhead, forgetting about the material world. So that's the proposition of Krishna's proposition, that you get out of the material world. You don't try to resolve, because he said from top to bottom, the Brahma Loka down to Patal Loka, it's problematic. So, and it's designed like that, with these modes of nature, the three kleshas. No one can change it. No one can resolve there's no material solution to the material problems. That we should understand. You take yourself out of the problem. You remove yourself from the problem. The material, the whole Brahmanda is a problem to greater or lesser degrees. In the upper planets, it's very less. But still, you're subject to time. Still, it's fantastic. And from Swaga, then it gets better in Maha, even better in Jnana, even better in Tapa, and even better in Brahmaloka, Sataloka. Fantastic places. But compared with the experience of the spiritual world, Satchitananda, it's no comparison at all. So relatively speaking, it's great. But from the absolute position, Krishna says it's a place of misery. From Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, it's fantastic. Krishna says from Satyaloka and down, it's a place of misery. He can say that. He's outside of the material world. So even that incredible happiness, according to our perspective, we can't even imagine the kind of happiness. And there's no distress practically whatsoever on that very high planet. But relative with the bliss, the joy of being with Krishna in the spiritual world, you don't even consider it anymore. You won't even think about it. It's nothing. So that's the material world. So that's why Krishna says it's a place of misery. So his proposition is, you can't overcome this miserable situation. You can't overcome these modes of nature, the three kleshas. How can you? He said they work under my direction. Devishi guna mai, mama maya. It's my energy. It's working how I want it to work, and it works to keep us in a suffering condition. Keeps us always moving. It's always giving us pressure. That's how the material energy is working here. And it's working under Krishna's direction. So how can we change it? 1/10,000th part, a tip of the hair, a little spark. How can we change it? So that is the proposition of the Bhagavatas, the Guru, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada said, everyone is looking for comfort. He said, it's simply wasting their energy. But sometimes you see, everyone is working hard for comfort. So sometimes you see the human being, sometimes some is successful and some are not. So why is that? Some are successful, they get more facility, and others don't. They're all working hard. They're both working hard for the same thing. So it's just, that's the modes of nature of working. You'd only get, your amount of success, happiness or comfort is already destined according to your karma. So that's just a waste of the human energy. He said, but everyone is doing it, wasting their energy, looking for comfort. We're not looking at the problems come anyway. We don't look for problems, they come. Similarly, the comfort will come. We don't have to look for it. So then don't waste the energy on those two subject matter. How to be comfortable and how to enjoy it. How to stop the problems and how to enjoy the situation. That is the material world. That's all that goes on in the material world, practically speaking. Everything goes under those two headings. You don't have to do that. You can't stop it coming, and you can't stop the problems coming. You can't stop the happiness coming, the comfort. You can't stop it. Krishna can, but we can't. So don't try. Don't be bewildered by thinking we can. That is a mode of passion. Goodness or ignorance, one of those. That's dictating us that we can do it. We can be successful by adjusting our life, by working in our life. No, you work, you use that energy, you switch that idea off for looking for comfort, and then work for Krishna's pleasure, or the devotee's pleasure. You're going to do the same thing anyway. But you work for somebody else. The desire is there, but that's real. When you're doing for Krishna's pleasure, then that's real life, because you know, we're the eternal servants of Krishna. The servant is meant for the master's pleasure, satisfaction, comfort, right? That's what a servant is. So that's real. When you're doing it for Krishna, then that's real life. Your real life begins at that point. So that's what we want. We will do that. We're doing it by rule. We're following the different directions of Vaidya Sadhana. So we're using the body and etc. and the senses and the service. And then later on, it's hoped that we also give our mind to that service also, that we actually we're thinking of actually it's for Krishna's pleasure. That comes last, because it's a subtle covering. So that this is what is expected. But in the beginning, although we don't have that faith in Krishna, we've forgotten Krishna. But we have faith in the scripture. We have faith in the guru. We have faith in Krishna, but not that much. Not that much that I'm actually thinking, I'm doing this for Krishna's pleasure, I want to make Krishna happy. We don't think like that. Rarely. We have to consciously try and think like that. I'm doing this service, it is for Krishna's happiness. We have to think about it, because it's not coming spontaneously from the heart. until we've established that relationship with Krishna, and then that attraction is there, you know, we are attracted to Him, then it becomes complete. But in any case, this is the transition. And so it's a better transition from the mode of goodness. Because the mode of passion means intense desire. Intense desire for what? I mean, intense is more attachment to the material life. So therefore it's more difficult to give up. More attachment, the more difficult to give up. So therefore, you least come to the mode of goodness. That's why it's always recommended. But as Richard said, these rajas, tamas, sattva, they're not qualities of the soul, they're the qualities of the material body. The soul doesn't have the soul has the spiritual counterpart, satchit ananda. So all these wonderful instructions we get in again and again and again in different stories as they appear throughout the Bhagavatam, but generally the instructions are the same. Some are more concise, some are more higher, but it's the same messages that we get in all the way through, because Srimad Bhagavatam is only talking about dealing with pure and unalloyed devotion to Krishna. So this is what we want to take from it, and this is what we want to try and apply to our lives, both in our by our activities and by our thoughts, consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Jai, Bhakta Vichasura ki Jai, Bhakta Indra ki Jai. Come in, question? Mikey?
How did Krishna should know that Krishna wanted
him to give Indra? How did Krishna know that?
How did Vritashura know that Krishna wanted him to kill Indra?
Well, when he was created by his Rishi, what's his name? Trasta? The Rishi Trasta, so that he's his father, because he said, flourish and kill your enemies, flourish and kill Indra. He was created to kill Indra, so that was his consciousness. Although he wasn't inimical, he wasn't an enemy actually, because the mantra was chanted wrong. So he knew he had to kill Indra, but he didn't really have a heart. It wasn't out of passion. backside. Comment.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah, make a okay. long one.
So, Indra, he is amazed that Vritasura, he has gotten the grace of Krishna to act as the devotee by encouraging Indra to kill himself. We very often we make this distinction between demons and devotees, but we see that especially demons mentioned in the Shastras, they are very knowledgeable, especially about certain aspects of Vedic culture. But the modern demons, they may appear to be in a different category, yet still, in terms of their inventions, science and technology, we as devotees, we are using, especially under the direction of Srila Prabhupada, using all these apparatuses invented by these modern demons so that they are benefiting. And we can understand that they also can get the opportunity eventually to become devotees, just as Vritasura, he got the mercy of the Lord. So sometimes we tend to go a little bit to the extreme. We see sometimes our children, they are using these apparatuses and they take advantage, but they are also thinking that they can become career persons. I think career persons, they can pursue careers in information technology and communication and all that. So this is dangerous, and in Sri Upanishad it is recommended that we learn vidyam and avidyam. Vidyam cha, vidyam cha. Yes. So our children, they should know, although these inventions, they are useful in Krishna consciousness. It's not that they should, you know, want to make their careers as scientists or technocrats and leave aside their Krishna consciousness. So, just a little comment. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
You heard that, mothers? Train your children nicely. They can use everything in Krishna service only. Sri Prabhupada, keep